This is Kelly Lally, and I'm in Park City with Mr. Joe Calisa to talk to him about his work with the CCC. Today is June the 9th, 1987. I guess the easiest place to start is to ask you when you were born.
Oh, I was born January 31, 1914. So that doesn't make me a juvenile, does it?
No. Tell me a little bit about your family. Where did you grow up?
In Indiana. Just out of Terre Haute, Indiana. I entered the 3C program there. At that time, everybody wanted to get into the program. And the fellow I graduated from high school with, he said, let's join. I said, okay, but we had to line up and draw numbers, and the box had blanks, so you were gambling on that. But I hit it lucky. He drew a blank, and I had two numbers. I was just aiming to get one, but I had two. I said, here, take this other, and so we both got a number. So we got on that, and a week later, we had to get on a train at Terre Haute and go in. Well, we ended up at Fort Knox, and we were processed there, and they give you all the shots that you needed, and got us signed up. We had to spend we spent 21 days at Fort Knox, and I think it rained 22 days while we were there. I never saw such a rain. But they had sergeants there, regular Army people, I guess, were the ones they were assigned to the program. And some of our officers, I guess they were reserve officers, or we had one company commander who was still regular Army. But after the 21 days, we were hoping, of course at our age, I think I was 19 then, to go in and be shipped out west. But we didn't. We got shipped to Martinsville, Indiana, which is only about 85 miles from home. But that was still interesting. We got there, and most of our work was in state parks, but there were two camps at that state park, and they figured there wasn't enough work there for two camps, so Mammoth Cave, they had the bid in for four camps, so we transferred to Mammoth Cave, I think, in 1934, and there was plenty of work there, but the enrollees in our camp, they were mostly from Indiana and Ohio, so that's where we started and ended up. Started in Martinsville, Indiana, and ended up at Mammoth Cave. So but later on, I spent a year or two at Fort Knox again, because they developed cadres from different camps, and we were to work with new enrollees coming in at Fort Knox. But that only lasted about 2 years, and then they sent me back to Mammoth Cave. I got to be a leader, which is pretty good, because that was a raise in pay from $30 a month to $45 a month. So at Mammoth Cave, they had plenty of work to do there, but I got to work in the office, so I didn't have to go out in the field. But the camps were mainly involved in improving the road system, because at that time in 1934 and 35, they just had dirt roads, and narrow ones at that, because all they used was wagons to travel back and forth. But we had portable rock crushers, and they had portable rock crushers on this side at one of the camps. And they just crushed rock and spread along the road and improved the road to about 20-foot width. So it was like a highway in those days. But they developed that. Then our camp was involved in the communication system. We ended up building about 60 miles of telephone lines. We salvaged the chestnut trees that were killed by the blight, and those were our telephone poles. But we had a telephone system all over the park, 60 miles of it. So that kept us busy. And then we had, there was a lot of skill in some of the enrollees. Some of them were brick masons, some of them were carpenters, and some of them were plumbers. And they used them on all of that, that type of work, that working on houses that they built. They were involved in building 5 residences in a circle at Mammoth Cave. And we had one man who especially was skilled as a stonemason. He did the sandstone work on the superintendent's residence and the flagstone around there. And a couple of the other buildings, the automotive shop, and then the one across from the automotive shop used to be a warehouse, but they've not used that. They've converted now into office space for some of the people at the main office. There's not enough room there to take care of them. But that's a good example of the work. That was stone that they gathered from the fireplaces, and because there's over 500 houses that had to be raised in the park. And the lumber, we salvaged as much of the lumber as we could from the houses and buildings that were raised, but the sandstone, that was used on those two buildings, and they're a huge building if you've ever been out to the maintenance area. And then some of the sandstone was quarried. We had three sandstone quarries, one at number two camp, and then we had one going out on Joppy, not Joppy Ridge, but Mammoth Cave Ridge. Then we had one across the river. The best sandstone we were getting was across the river from Denison Ferry. And they were used in other construction. The three-spring pump house and the wall, that's all sandstone. The pump house, that was constructed by CCC Labor. And, we had an incinerator that they constructed, but that incinerator didn't work because they dumped too much wet garbage in there, and they couldn't keep the fire going, so they just abolished that. They finally tore that down, and then they built comfort stations in the campground. And we had 2 for the picnic area. They had joined each other, but now that's all been raised, and all we had one comfort station still existing at the old campground, and that is being converted into a museum, I think, for caves. Yeah, it's going to be cave museum there. So that. They did work on the road, as I say, I don't know how many miles of road that they, it must have been 100 miles or more that they worked on, because there's 4 camps. There's a whole lot of work there, but they got shy of work on the number 3 camp. And they finally disbanded that and just filled them in with the other camps.
So what camp number were you in?
I was in number 4 camp across the river. And they did some work there. There is a ranger station there that has a the residents there. Some of that work was done by the CCC boys. They had skilled carpenters, but the CCC boys worked for them and did a lot of that work. And they had some buildings at the number 4 camp, but they have all been razed now, so that has ended up as a group campground. So that's about the... And then on the Mammoth Cave Ridge, they built, they were involved in building, I think, 4 water reservoirs over there. I think they've got 6 now, but they built 2 just recently by contract labor. So there's a lot of stonework and net and cement work. And at the Three Springs Pump House, you ought to go down and see that.
I saw one of the pump houses. I'm not sure which one it was. It was really nice. It was a big valley next to it.
All right, that's the Three Springs Pump House.
Really nice building. Yeah.
And then they had another on the other side there, the Bransford Pump House. They built that. Of course, they don't use them now, because we've tied on to a water system, water district outside the park. Those springs, the water level is dropping, and they don't rely on those anymore. The Three Springs, they let that water run back into the cave, so it has effect on the life in the cave.
So how many years total were you in the CCC?
How many what?
How many years total were you in the CCC?
Oh, gosh, I think it's about 8 years.
Did you stay until it was finished, until it was disbanded?
Yeah, I did, because when that was finished, they finally gave me a job as a warehouseman out there at maintenance area. So that was my first job. Well, before that, I don't know what that title was. They gave us a title about that long, but they put it on the civilian employees, but that didn't last long. Let's see. That one lasted about a year. And then at the end of that program, I had to go back. They wanted me to go back in the 3C program. I said, okay, I'll go. So, well, the others too. There's 8 of us, I think, or 6 of us. 8 of us, I think. Had those jobs, didn't last too long. But I, in 1941, I did go to work with the Park Service as a warehouseman. So that lasted for me until 1943, when the Army got me, drafted me. So then when I came back, they had a boy in there, but they wanted me to go on as a ranger. And I did. I lived across the river then at the ranger station. And that was a good house there. But you better come along and tell me questions there.
Let's go back to when you first got into the CCC. Do you remember how you felt when you first left home for camp?
No. I was kind of anxious to, because of depression now, that was something terrible. And you just couldn't find any work to do. And we thought, well, at least we wouldn't have to go hungry, and it's an experience to go hungry. You just had to, we didn't have a big farm. We used to farm some of the river bottoms and get corn, but most of your food just had to come from what you raised in the garden. But this was a new program, and it was new. Everybody was a little excited, because they said this was a program. Roosevelt was going to send us to war in China. And I didn't get excited about that. And I said, well, I'll take my chances. So when we went to camp, it was a good life. We slept in tents. It's all right. It didn't bother me.
Did you get homesick at all?
No, I didn't get homesick. I'd say we're just 85 miles from
That's
home.
Right.
And some of the boys had a car. We couldn't have a car on the center. So they would they'd park the car outside of the camp, and we'd go home once in a while. And we just kind of pool our cash, of what little we had, and pay the gas bill, go back and forth. So I wasn't homesick, but I'm disappointed that we didn't go out west. But it was a big help. We sent an allotment to our families, and that kept them alive, because I still had two brothers, young brothers. One of them was older than me. But they later joined the camps, and they got a lot of experience out of it.
So you say you went to Fort Knox before you went... before you started
for
training.
Well, we had to go to Fort Knox and be processed.
Processed?
Yes, that's where they get your life's history and sign you up. And you had to take all these daggone shots. They didn't bother me, but they made a lot of the boys sick. But we stayed there at Fort Knox, I say, 21 days. And we ate Army Chow. It's all right. It'd be, a lot of that welfare stuff they try to give you in the community. But that was usually a sack of beans or potatoes. That's about all they had, well, I can remember. And the food was good in the Army. It didn't bother me. I don't have trouble eating.
Well, describe your first day in camp.
Well, the first day in camp, we had, we call them dog-faced sergeants. They say it rained, and that old sergeant lined us up, and I don't know, he put me in, we were in squads, and he put me in front, and he was just barking, he was counting, and we had marched to his count, and with all that rain, there was a big puddle of water there, and I didn't know what to do. I was in lead squad. I walked around there, and man, he barked at me, got me by the neck and shook me like a dog shaking a rat. And he said, "I didn't tell you to detour around there." And I said, "Well, I didn't think I'd have any sense going through that water." And he said, "You go until I tell you not to go." So he backed me up, and I had to go through that damn water. I mean, that darn water. And that was it. So I learned not to argue with the sergeant. And then we spent all our first few days, we had to dig trenches around our tent. And then to keep us busy while it's still raining, we would have to move the tents back and get them out of the way. So we filled this trench up to dig a new trench where they moved us. So that was it. We were all glad to get away from Fort Knox and get into the field. So, when we ended up in the field, that was Martinsville, Indiana. But at least we didn't, we had tents there, but they were these big hospital tents. I think they would hold about 50 of us in a tent. And there were about 200 of us in the camp. So we had four of those tents. And we learned to, while at Fort Knox, though, we had to, all that rain, we always had some wise guy who said, "Keep your tent ropes tight, otherwise your tent's going to leak." Well, that was a joke, because our tent and a lot of others just collapsed.
Because of all the rain?
You have to loosen the ropes when it rains. So we learned not to listen to some of that advice.
And so after, how long did you say, did you go to Mammoth Cave after being in Martinsburg?
Well, at Martinsville, I think we were at Fort Knox then. At Martinsville. We were there about 2 years, I guess, because we come to Mammoth Cave. It was late 35, I think, or late summer of 35. But they had wooden barracks then, so that was different from the tents.
More comfortable?
More comfortable, yeah. They at least had floors. And they had streets. But our company commander at Martinsville, he was sent ahead of time. He was an engineer. And from the other camps, they borrowed some of the enrollees there to set up the camps, and they had hired carpenters to build them, and the CC boys helped on that. But they had streets laid off, and just like home, have a roof over your head instead of a tent.
So you say that you got paid at first $30 a month.
$30 a month, and then you had to send 25 of that home. Then the government would match it 25, so your family got $50.
Okay.
And you say, well, how could you live on $5? Well, it wasn't anything to spend it on, because they furnished us the meal. They had a, they call it PX, they call it a canteen. And, even a nickel or dime, that go a long way. You could buy a lot of things in the canteen, but that would last you 30 days.
Did you do any shopping in Cave City or any of the towns around there?
Well, we'd go into Martinsville when we were in Martinsville, at a town in Martinsville. There wasn't much shopping there. And we got over here, but the only shopping you did in Cave City was go to the theater there. It cost you a dime, I think, get in the theater, so I didn't tear that $5 up too bad.
Whatever else you needed, you could get in camp.
Yeah, so. I mean, your shaving lotion and razor blades and soap and stuff like that, we could get at the canteen. But as a treat, well, we'd probably buy sweets in Cave City.
What were your special roles in the CCC camp?
Well, as I say, I worked in the office, and I took care of all of the records and all of the typing for the officers. We had to maintain, well, we had service records like they have in the Army, because everything was patterned on Army style, because we had regular Army cadre people. Then later on, they were replaced by our own people who got promoted to leaders. And I think the Army cadre stayed with us for about a year. Then they sent them back to their units.
Were you ever a leader in the?
Yes, I got the leader salary, but my responsibility was in the office. I worked with the officers there, but the whole thing, all the ballyhoo about the 3C camps was that they were going to restore the forest and the national parks and all that. It was a dual purpose, because we were also paramilitary. Roosevelt was trying to build up a cadre of trained enrollees who had some military training and military life. So I guess before we finally went to war, we had a reservoir of about 2.5 million CCC enrollees who had some Army training. So when the war broke out, here come the recruiters, and they weren't interested in recruiting anybody except those who had been in the 3C program. So, and they said, well, the reason for that, we don't have a homesickness problem, and they know which is our left foot and which is our right foot, so we don't have to start out getting a lot of the country people to train, because we did have paramilitary training.
So you all went
first.
We
did everything except fire the rifle. Mm-hmm. And I didn't mind going. We had war on. I had several opportunities to get deferred, but I don't know, you feel bad. All your buddies, they're going in service, some volunteered. I didn't volunteer. I just waited till my number come up, and I went. When they called me, I went. That was in May of 43.
Just want to make sure it hasn't run out. Can you describe a typical day for you then? Did you have to get up at a certain time? And?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you had to get up at 5 o'clock every morning. Then we had reveille at 5:30. Then we would have breakfast about 6. And then we would get out again and parade. And in the evening, we would parade and march. And we had flag ceremonies. Everything that the Army had, we had to do the same thing. That wasn't too bad. And then we could get passes to weekend passes to a different town that you want to go to. But I wasn't too excited about that. I'd go into Cave City once in a while. That was it.
So how much free time did you have?
Well, I think after 4 o'clock, the evening ceremonies, the flag and retreat and all that, the evenings were our own, and weekends, I know we had softball field and baseball field, and we played baseball competition in the four camps. So we played competition softball and competition baseball with the other camps.
And did you take part in a lot of the organized recreation programs you did?
Well, I was just part of it. I didn't lead any of it. But they had, most of those were organized by the officers. But some of the leaders were responsible for the barracks. They had one assigned to each barracks. We had four barracks there. And you had to see that everybody made the beds up and cleaned the barracks up. And then we had inspections. We'd have those, I guess, once or twice a month, where still Army style.
So you spent a lot of your free time making sure everything was straight.
Well, yeah, that didn't hurt us, though.
Did you participate in any of the education programs at Mammoth Cave?
We had an education program there, but I don't recall me participating in it, because we had some boys who needed help in reading and writing, and but there again, some of the other leaders were involved in that, but mostly that was staff people. But we had an education advisor, and we had a recreation man. They were responsible for planning a lot of that. But they had education classes at night to help these boys that needed help.
Did you or any of the other guys play pranks on each other?
Well, that's natural, I think.
What kind of pranks did you pull?
Well, of course, they'd short sheet your bed, you know. Well, you know what that is? They would do that, and I don't know. That's been so long. I know there's a lot of pranks played.
Do they do anything to some of the new guys coming in?
Like initiating them?
Yeah.
They take them snipe hunting. They get them a gunny sack, a grass sack, and take them snipe hunting and get them out in the woods and leave. They tell them wait there, and they'd be back, but they never come back, so you had to find your way.
This is the second side of the tape of my interview with Mr. Joe Calisa on the CCC. Where were the various camps situated at Mammoth Cave?
Well, number 4 was across the river at the little old village of Cade, C-A-D-E. And number 1 camp was Flint Ridge. That used to be a country club out there. A number two camp was located at just above the Frozen Niagara entrance to Mammoth Cave. And number three camp was over at Joppy Ridge, on close to the Joppy Church. That's the four locations.
Okay. Was there much interaction among the different CCC camps?
Yes, we had competition, to say, in sports. And then they would have dances. They'd probably rotate them between camps. Then later on, from all the lumber that they salvaged from these houses that they were raising and the barns, they built a gymnasium right below the park headquarters. They called the Hoopy House. That's where they had their dances, and that's where we got exposed to jitterbug. Now those colored boys, they were the only ones that could jitterbug, but the white enrollees finally learned that. But they had all their activities. They had a basketball there. It was a huge building, but it was put up with chestnut poles and framed with lumber. Had hardwood floor, because a lot of these houses that they raised, it had oak lumber flooring in. So that lasted, I guess, until the end of the program. They'd have movies down there too, and sing and dancing. I don't think we had any play acting. They might have, I don't remember.
Did they invite the local girls in? Is that what they...
Oh, yeah, when they had dances, oh, Lord, they'd bring them in by busloads. So.
Did many of the guys date, or local girls?
Yeah, that's a... When they go in town, they'd have somebody to date, meet them in town.
How did the whites feel about the presence of blacks in a nearby camp? Was there any racial tension?
No, there was pretty good harmony there. Because the number one camp, that was strictly colored. And we didn't have that racial problem. And then later on, they start the replacements, the vacancies we had in some camps. I know at number four camp, we had four blacks shipped in there. But now they weren't too happy about it because, they had to cross a ferry. So there wasn't any problem. They liked it there. We got along with them pretty good. But there wasn't any racial problems.
Aside from dating the local girls, what kind of relationship did the CCC have with the people of the surrounding area?
Well, you could go out in the country and visit with them. I know I used to do that. Got acquainted with a lot of those people across the river at number four camp. We'd invite them to come and have Sunday dinner with us sometime. And they would come to that. That's where you got acquainted with a lot of those people. I did, rather, across the river, and they're fine people over there.
A lot of people were displaced, I know, as the park was being developed. Did that cause any problems with the CCC, or was it more the government in general?
No, that's just the government, but of course they blame the Park Service for that, but the Park Service had nothing to do with it, because the law for the parks was that the state of Kentucky had to acquire the property, and they had a minimum acreage before that could be established as a national park. And the initial requirement, I think, was for about 70,000 acres. Then they dropped it down to 60,000, and they had a hard hard time meeting that, so they cut it down to 45,000 acres, and they met that. So then on July 1945, the area was established as a national park. But it, the park now has only got about 53,000 acres. So it's a small park, but we were authorized 170,000 acres, but that wasn't all acquired.
So even though the local residents didn't blame the CCC, was there any trouble at all? I had heard about some fires, possibly.
Well, yes, there was some resentment there because, of course, here again, the land buyers are the one who acquired the land, and I don't know what they told those people, but if you if those people had to move from their place of residence, and if the park, now the park did put some of their employees in some of those houses, there was resentment there. They got so somebody would manage to get around to set them on fire some night. I know we went through one period there, we'd be on top of the water tower, and we could see them going through the field with torches and setting the fires, but trying to catch them was almost impossible. So, and they burned some of the buildings down before they could renovate them for any park employees. But that's a natural feeling, I suppose, if you have to give up your house for a park, and then you turn around and put a park employee in there. Well, that was only temporary.
How successful do you think the CCC was in relieving the effects of the Depression?
Well, I think they were very, very successful, and I think they were very effective, because with the work that was being done in the area, plus the allotment that was sent back to their families, there was a lot of money spent. I mean, the families got a $50 allotment, which the CC enrollees put up $25, and it was matched by government funds of $25. Well, give them $50. Well, $50 in those times would go a long way. It wouldn't now, but it helped out a whole lot. And of course, what they did here in the area, even on the roads, was a big help to these people. So they just didn't have any roads; they just had dirt roads.
Do you think having the CCC in the area helped the local communities economically?
Oh, yes, because what little money they had, they'd go in, whatever town they go in, they'd spend it. They was afraid they were going to go out of style, I guess, because they were always broke.
Well, what do you consider to be the greatest contribution of the CCC?
Well, I'd say military. Because they had a reservoir of 2.5 million boys who had already been involved in a phase of military training. That was a big contribution.
Were there any problems with the CCC? Anything that didn't quite work the way it was supposed to, or?
No, I don't know of any. Each of them had their own programs, and when the boys came in, they just assigned them to certain squads, and whatever they were doing, they learned that, and they had opportunity to learn trade, to say carpentry work and stonemason work and cement work and all of that. A lot of them, because they weren't exactly illiterate people in the CCC, because when the program started in the Depression, that kept a lot of boys from going on to college, and least when they came into the program, they got a little better organized, and with the allotment that they sent to their family, a lot of them, you could leave the camp if you're going to return to college or go to college. Most of them were high school graduates, and a lot of them were just eighth grade graduates. But we had some who needed help in reading and writing and arithmetic, but they had an educational section there that took care of that. They had an educational advisor to take care of them.
Was there much of a problem with guys, instead of getting out the regular way, deserting?
Well, yes, we had some desertions, but I don't think it was a great number. I don't recall any around here or any place that I've been, even in Martinsville, Indiana. We had some of them, say, when they saw that first rattlesnake, they left. Those are city people. That was nothing to the rest of us. I was raised in the country. So, although a rattlesnake, that's the first one I ever saw. Where I lived, there wasn't any poison snakes. I don't know what happened to them. We just had non-poisonous snakes.
So after the CCC and after your time in the Army, you say you came back to Mammoth Cave as a ranger. How long did you, or first in maintenance, did you say, and then as a ranger?
No, I was a warehouseman.
Uh-huh, okay.
I had that job before I went to the Army. I got that in January of 41, and then in May of 43, when the Army got me. So I had the job waiting for me, but I knew those people across the river, they were having a little problem there, because one of the rangers there, he got a little irritated because the neighbor's dogs would be on the park chasing wildlife, and he made the mistake of shooting that dog. Oh, Lord, that's some of those people, that's like shooting a member of family.
Yeah.
And that created some hard feelings, and I knew those people. And the superintendent asked me if I would come back. Go on as a ranger. And I said, well, I don't know, give it some thought. And he said, well, I got to have an answer real quick. Because like everybody, when you get out of the Army, you had 90 days and you could just do anything you want without going back to your job. And I was going to take advantage of that 90 days. They said, no, after about 5 weeks, well, they wanted me to come back to work. So I did. And I got along pretty good with those people, but when I put that uniform on, a lot of those friends of mine, they wouldn't speak to me for a while, and I finally found out that they considered me a traitor when I put on that uniform, because the Rangers weren't too well accepted. But they finally got used to it. I told them, I said, well, you either have to put up with me or somebody else in the uniform. And I said, you and I know how to get along. I said, well, okay, they try me out, so I got along with them fine.
How long did you do that?
Well, let me see, I was a ranger, I guess from 46 until 56, I moved to the Smokies then. But I can go back there any time now. As I say, I came down as a Democrat in Republican stronghold. I can still get a meal in the bed from them any time I want to come over there. And I go over there and visit with them still. They were good people. I liked them. They're good and friendly.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell me about your experience with the CCC?
Well, Kelly, I don't know. It's been a long time. But I think it's a good program, and some people try to compare Job Corps with CCC, but there's a difference. There's no comparison that you can make, because the CCC was an entirely different program. It served the purpose of improving the parks, the state parks and the national parks, plus the big advantage of having experience in paramilitary training. A lot of people, they just don't even ask Congress when they talk about reviving the CCC program. They said, well, we can go back to improving the parks. Well, that wasn't the main, I think the main purpose of the CCC was to build up a reservoir of partially trained military enrollees, because they didn't have that problem. Roosevelt was president. They had to build up a army in a short time, and they had, I'd say, 2.5 million boys already received some training. Now, that was a big help there.
Well, thank you.
And I think too, when you're in an area, you leave your own environment at home, which is entirely different to an area that you go to. You got to get adjusted to that. But these people, a lot of things they were doing seemed strange to us, but after we got used to their ways, we could understand that they were living one life while we might have been living another life. So the main thing there was to be friends with them, and they'd be friends of ours. So I like that about it, because I have a great admiration of those people across the river, because they were raised poor. I was too. But I think the three C's was a big help to me, because they kept telling me that I would have an opportunity to get on as a park employee. That developed, and then also some of the reserve people that we had as foremen or officers, they were trying to get me in the military reserve, but only vacancies I had was in the infantry, and that's the last place I wanted to go, because I'd be interested in the quartermaster, I mean adjutant general department or the quartermaster. And they said, well, there's always a chance, opportunity, that if you come in as an infantryman, you could transfer to the division of your choice. Well, I said, I'm not going to take that chance. And even after the war, they tried to get me to stay in reserve, but I said, no, I don't need that. I came out as a master sergeant, and they said, well, you could keep your rank. I said, that wouldn't bother me, because I came in as a private, and I'd go back in as a private if I have to. But I didn't want the reserve, because a lot of our boys in the parks went, they joined the reserve, and by golly, it wasn't a year until they were over in Korea. And I didn't want any part of that. I think that and Vietnam was a war we shouldn't have been into. World War II, I could understand that, I guess. The whole world was involved there. No, I enjoyed my life with the CCC program. I thought it was a good program when they started out, and I didn't mind that military training. It was good. But you got used to dog-faced sergeants, as we call them. But they were good to us. And they kept us alive. We had good meals. And I'm the same way about the Park Service. I spent 36 years with the Park Service. And I've enjoyed every minute of it. They were good to me. I took advantage of every opportunity I had to get promotions, and I finally ended up being superintendent of Mammoth Cave. Well, my first superintendency was at Middlesboro, Cumberland Gap. But
when did you move back to Mammoth Cave?
I came back in February of 71, so I stayed until May 31st, 1976, and I retired. I figured 36 years is a long time. Let some of the younger people have it. And the Park Service is a good outfit to work for. And I still enjoy going out to park. I don't want to go out there too often, because they always have somebody say, well, guys back here trying to tell the new superintendent how to run the park. I don't tell them. They call on me sometime. I say, look, it's your park. You make your decisions. So, as I say. say, I was happy with my work and I'm happy with my retirement. We're living not high on the hog, but we're not starving either.
Well, that's all the questions I have.
Well, I wish I had some material. I told Bob that I got to clean the garage out sometime. We had newspapers. Each camp had a newspaper that they printed themselves. They used to mimeograph them, and then they got so they would run them through a printing press. And I got copies of those newspapers, I think, for all of the camps. And then there's one thing. I don't think anybody has ever written a history on the CCC program. There are records, but I don't think nobody's ever sat down and analyzed those records and come up with a book.
In Kentucky or in general?
In nationwide.
There is one book that I read for background information. It's by a guy whose last name is Salmond, and it is a history of the CCC.
What's his name?
Salmond, S-A-L-M-O-N-D.
I never heard of him. Where is the book?
It should be in the library. I'm not
sure
what year it was written.
I didn't know they had one.
Oh, I'm going to turn this thing off now.